Hello, I'm Matt Ogden, and this is Rich Sykes, and welcome back to By George from Page to Stage. And today, Rich, we are talking all about the auditions prep for the auditions that are happening for By George on Easter Sunday, aren't we?
Yeah, this is the week before the auditions. They're coming up. We're filming this on Monday. The auditions are going to be on Sunday. The material went out about 3 weeks ago, so there's been an awful lot of prep time for it, but yeah. It just seemed to have sneaked up. Largely because in the interim we've been doing a show. We did Priscilla Queen of the Desert together at the Lawrence Battley, and we both took what I would call minor roles, but we had a major part in it. You were major backstage,
Mr. Cameo.
You were driving the bus.
Well, that's true. You did
pretty much a full stint backstage. You had a whole side that you mastered, and I was playing a guy called Bob. Who was a love interest in the second act and a lot of chorus work in the first. Mm. So we had big roles within the show itself, but not the principal roles. Is that fair?
I think you had a bigger role than me, definitely. Like, well, in terms of being on stage, I mean, I was literally a cameo at the end of Act One. And then came on for the finale because they wanted to see me basically just in a loincloth again. Thanks, Neil. I actually got a mention in the... I didn't. It said special mention to Matt Ogden's loincloth.
Yay!
I was like, oh, it's great that I can put that on my like kind of notable mentions list. So actually that's Sue's doing really good.
It is. You can blame Sue on costume for that one.
Yeah. But well, I'll get her back when we have her on for the podcast.
But it felt, I mean, I don't know how it felt for you. There didn't seem to be the pressure of being a principal, but it was such fun to be a part of. But it was hefty.
I think for me, because it was the first time I'd done backstage side of things, probably a silly idea to try and do both at the same time. Now I think about it, like, that's quite a lot of work. But I did thoroughly enjoy it in the end. And I wanted to be involved because I didn't originally want to do the show.
No.
Partly because of, like, work commitments and trying to buy a house.
You just finished a huge show. You'd just done Sunset Boulevard. Yeah.
I'd just done Sunset Boulevard and I'd just done Adam's Family.
Yes.
And I actually said, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to audition for the role in the musical that I've just got, actually.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to mention last
podcast. No, tell.
So I was fully committed to just doing what I needed to do, getting prepared for... Well, it's auditions, isn't it? So it makes sense. Getting prepared for my audition for School of Rock. And I'm happy to say, last week I got that part. So in November, I'll be playing the lead in School of Rock with Mosley. Funnily enough, in Mosley.
I'll do it again. Yay!
And obviously, that's a huge, huge part. You know, it's so preparing for that and thinking, okay, even if I don't get it, I still need to put a lot of effort into that audition. That, to me, was like priority number one.
Yeah.
And I was originally going to go for it when Halifax, who I just watched do it, had announced that they were doing it. But the audition for that was the day after Adam's Family finished.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I can't really prepare for that. It's too much. And it was a huge audition, biggest audition I've ever seen. And then anyway, I decided I was going to go for Mosley's one. I had more time to prepare. And then the audition was the day after Priscilla. So after I'd done a Get Out, which you helped with, and you were meant to be going travelling for a holiday as well.
Yeah,
so crazy week with Priscilla.
But don't you find, I mean, this is the reason that the auditions for By George have crept up on not just me, but you, in that we've had so much to do in the intervening period that they really have just sort of muscled up towards the finishing line.
Exactly, yeah.
They're going to be on the 9th of April, the auditions. We are oversubscribed for the day, which is incredible. It's an unknown quantity. How do these people know what this show is going to be like? But they seem to have enormous faith in the project. Having the theatres backing, I think, has helped as well. But we've got people coming from far and wide. We've got people coming from Rochdale. We've got people coming from over from Halifax to come and audition for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, We'd originally started with a view to doing 20 auditions on the day, which is a lot. And we gradually it's got to 24, 27 with the video auditions that are going to come in.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very big day. Originally we allocated sort of 15 minutes for each. And I said, well, there's people auditioning for multiple parts and we'd like to play around. So that went to 20 if people are auditioning for multiple parts.
Yeah.
I think the schedule is going to be absolutely frenetic. The lunch hour has gradually turned into a lunch minute and the breaks have gone.
I'm going to be turning up with like a little maid's outfit delivering sandwiches at this rate.
Keeping everyone, oh Lord.
Just a camera and a microphone and say, right, whilst you're eating your lunch, how's your audition gone? Or like, what have you got to do?
Yes, because you're going to be filming on the day.
I'll be around.
You'll be around.
It's like classic me where, you know, I wasn't originally due to be part of anything and then suddenly. Matt's there.
Yeah.
I think, so what's the structure of the day going to look like then? Because I suppose from the outside, for people who might be listening to this or watching it on YouTube who aren't in musical theatre, but they're watching it because they're interested in shows or maybe I've just nagged them to watch it or someone else has recommended it.
Subscribe.
What does that process look like for By George? And then maybe we'll have a little chat about how it compares to other shows. Because obviously we've touched on the fact that this is not your average normal amateur theatre musical.
No.
This is an original that you've written. And as you said, you know, you're kind of surprised at how many people from different regions are coming to do it. I'm not at all. I knew it would happen. It's great. But what's the structure of the day going to look like and why is that time getting so, you know, so strict?
I think because there are, there's a variety of principal characters who all need different facets to their performance. We'd originally gone with the intention of putting all the Sams together, all the Paulines together.
Yeah.
It can't work out like that because people's availability doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But as a general rule, we've tried to put people together so we can compare directly.
Mm.
And you know, the next audition will be for the same part and the same part. It hasn't worked out like that. Of course it hasn't. It never works out the way you think. We are doing it on the same day as the theatre is hosting a technical rehearsal for Huddersfield Light Opera Society's Little Mermaid. And so there are people in that show who are auditioning for our show. So they've got a tech rehearsal at one point, and then they're coming into audition or the other way around.
Jeez, yeah.
It's going to be a very fraught, frenetic day for them. Yeah. But for us, I mean, it's going to be an enormous day.
Mm.
And seeing 27 people, you know, looking at various stages of exasperation, of disappointment, of trial, of tribulation, you do start to wonder why some people put themselves through it. I don't know about you. I adore auditions. Do you enjoy doing them? Do you get scared?
I loved doing my School of Rock audition. Yeah. But I was also nervous.
Yeah.
Because it was the first... Sunset Boulevard was a big lead part. And auditioning for that, I was quite nervous as well. Because it was a musical that I'd seen once. Mm. I'd kind of never really thought about going for it, and then got pushed into auditioning for it by one of my best friends. And
I remember pushing you for it.
Yeah, a few people did actually.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm kind of like that though, to be fair. Like I think that unless there's like a part where I'm super keen on doing it, I'll probably be a bit more inclined to go for the supporting character or the cameo role. And as a performer, I don't like being shoehorned into the same roles over and over again. There's some people, I think, in amateur theatre who only ever go for the chorus or they only ever go for a lead. Mm. And, you know, some people can get a bit of a reputation for, oh, they're not going to do that show because they're going to want the big part in this. Mm. I'm not one of those people. I like doing the quirky characters. I actually enjoy the hell out of doing the quirky characters. So for example, like auditioning for Sunset Boulevard, definitely wanted the lead, didn't really have any interest in any of the other characters. But there aren't really that many other principal characters. It's basically Joe, Norma, Betty, Max, and then there are some minor characters who have some really great numbers, to be fair, or really great scenes. But, you know, the show is built around those four characters.
Yeah, it's carried by those four characters.
And then with School of Rock, it is literally Dewey is the main part. Yeah. Then there's the kids and Rosalie, and the teachers are in a few scenes, but the teachers are also double as the parents. So, you know, going for that audition, I was like, it's all or nothing with this. Like, it's put a load of effort into it, try and get the part, hope for the best. And I think that you don't realise how much energy you actually spend putting that effort into it. Like, I'm still tired from it now, but like that's because I was running around like a crazy madman.
The audition is actually the fun part. The preparation for it can be so exhausting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's constantly lurking in the back of your mind.
I think once
if you really want the part, if you don't, you know, if you're just going for the audition because you want to be a part of the society or want to be part of the show, and you don't care what part you get, it suddenly eases all the tension, and you just go.
And I'm guessing, because I've spoken to a few people who are going for it, who you know, we've talked about this before, that generally speaking, the principal characters in the show are the older generation, so they're kind of more late 30s, early 40s, all the way up to 60s.
Yeah.
So the people I've spoken to mostly about this have been people around my kind of age, where there isn't really those big parts for them.
No.
So are those people who are going for their kind of chorus or ensemble parts, I should say, are they still auditioning for other parts just to kind of get their foot in the door there?
There's a certain element of that. But the biggest element of these auditions and the people who've actually put their names down is people who never expected to do a lead. And
I
so
love that.
Yeah, people who thought, oh, that time's gone there. Especially amongst the women.
Yeah.
Who thought, oh well, I'm past 40 now, so that's done. Whereas this, we need 45, 50, 60 year old people. Mm. And so they've just been so one thing I had after the read through was someone came through and said, thank you so much for writing a part for a woman, a proper part, someone who's
real woman. Yeah, exactly.
I think, like I said last time, I, the parts that I'm taking now usually involve death. I'm usually the one that dies. And I that's been the case for 2 or 3 years. In this last show was the last one in which I lived, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
and had a happy ending.
And had a very happy
ending. In more
ending.
Ways
thank,
than one.
Thank you very much. Yes, it was marvellous. So the issue about... No, I'm not sure we can use that in the pod. Oh, yeah, we can.
Yeah, it'd be fine. We didn't swear.
Yeah.
I didn't mention what exactly happened.
No, exactly right.
Plus, people live for that stuff, don't
they? What happens in the green room stays in the green room. Okay. In fact, you can't get off the walls, to be fair. Now, so...
Maybe not that bit.
We can't use that bit. No, we'll never use that bit. No, we'll edit all that out.
That is so funny.
So, so the auditions themselves will feature people who haven't auditioned in 25 years.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It is, but I don't know how those people are feeling today. I don't know how much they really feel they want or deserve the part. I have no knowledge of these. I know they can perform. I know, Christ, they can perform.
Yeah, yeah.
These were some of the best people on that stage. And they've gone away, had kids.
And focused on careers.
Yeah,
like that,
and now want to, because this is their musical.
Yeah,
also, the rehearsal period helps them because it takes place predominantly over the school holidays.
Yeah,
because
that's
true, the show is on in early September. Which means, at a stretch, that their main focus is going to be around the summer holidays, and it is less of a musical, more than a play with songs in it, and I think that appealed to them. You know, the fact that it's not a full
it's not like big kind of like jazzy.
You'll need a lot of stamina and a lot of energy and determination to get through it.
Mm.
But it's not like a Priscilla Queen of the Desert, where every number is a chorus number, where you're... jig, yeah. And on comes another costume change. It's not that kind of musical. It's got that a sedate air of an Akeborn play, but with songs and stupidity thrown in.
It makes it more accessible for those people as well, like you said.
I think so.
Because some people, I think it, when you mentioned about the fact that some people might not have auditioned for years, I was listening yesterday to BCB Radio, Jackie Drake.
Yeah, yeah.
And she had...
Members of Little Mermaid.
And one of them was Sharon Whitehead.
Yeah.
And she mentioned the fact that, you know, she did take a bit of a break and she had kids and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, that's... There must be so many women like that, and even men as well, actually, to be fair, that have had that experience of when they were my age and younger, you know, when they're in their kind of like late teens, 20s, 30s, they'll have done big lead parts and they'll have had loads of exciting stuff. And then, you know, kind of like I am right now, they're trying to buy a house or they're trying to do better at work.
Life gets in the
maybe
way.
Maybe they're settling down or whatever. And, you know, there's... In fact, I've got some friends right now who, you know, they're having another baby and only the dad is auditioning for parts in shows because the mum's obviously about to be another mum. Yeah. So it's kind of, it's, and also, you know, I think that brings us on to a really good point about men in theatre, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
In that you'd think that because of that fact that musicals would have lots and lots of parts, really good parts for guys. But generally speaking, on a professional level, yes, they do. See, like, the Book of Mormon, that show couldn't happen without lots of men.
Yeah.
And generally, they're all kind of young men.
Yeah.
But then there's a tendency in musical theatre, especially in the amateur world, to only be able to cast young, dance-heavy women who, you know... There is an abundance of. You go to a dance school down the road, there's like six or seven just ready and waiting to go. But men, generally speaking, it's always a lot harder to cast, isn't it?
But isn't that terrible?
I think that's changing.
I think so. And especially the nature of shows is changing. Look at things like Six with the wives of Henry VIII. And they're it.
My high school's just done a production of that.
Yeah, great.
And apparently it was amazing.
Oh, it's an incredible show. Really good concept.
Yeah.
But the things are shifting. And in terms of non-gendered roles as well, the show I'm about to write, it has non-gendered roles in it. Specifically so that we don't have this issue.
Is it just a name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it doesn't matter. Any of the sexes, they don't matter at all.
Love that.
Which is, I'd love to see that. In the same way that colourblind casting has come into things and films and things like Bridgerton and Life and Times of David Copperfield on film.
Yeah, good job.
That colourblind casting really works. It gives it a real fresh energy.
Yeah.
And so I'm all in favour of that. And it would solve this. At a moment, you know, in that you're still telling a story, but you're not concerned with the gender of people, and you don't have to cast a bloke or the bloke who's been with the society for years and done all their productions, and it's just got boring. This, if you look at the cast, because this is being done by Woodhouse Operatic Society, as was.
He does it every time.
I know, it's just the
Woodhouse
way I'm
built. Musical Theatre Company.
Thank you very much. Thank you
for us youngsters.
Oh, dear. Sorry. I feel so old.
not even old.
So, they've just done Priscilla.
Yeah.
A vibrant, youth-orientated show.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I was, like, probably one of the oldest in
Stamina and vibrancy going through it.
Yeah.
Now, they're looking for the older end. And so, there are virtually no one who was in Priscilla is going to go for a part in this next show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
These are all people who've either been with the society, are fans of the society, never seen the society before. Yeah. So you're going to get a lot of new blood in there, but it's not going to be from the younger end. It's going to be from the older end.
I think that's great.
Isn't it?
I think that, like, me going and doing School of Rock, first time with a society outside of Yorkshire since moving from the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Is that true? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think
you did Halifax, but you know.
Yeah, that's true. But that's Yorkshire, isn't it? But that is like fresh blood. It means that there's going to be people from my circle of friends and societies I've done shows, hopefully anyway, come and see it. And I think that that's one thing that I find really important was, you know, when people stick to one society, like you said, you kind of, you have the same group of performers over and over and over again. And it's great. And commitment and loyalty is fantastic. Yeah. But sometimes you do want to mix it up and you want to see fresh faces in those auditions.
And for the sake of the show, I think often the cliche of amateur theatre was, I'm saying was because I don't believe this is the case anymore, that a show would be either selected to fit the group and wouldn't necessarily be the one that the audience want to see, or worse still, a show would be selected and they'd shoehorn the current cast of characters into that.
Yeah.
So you end up with some of the most
hodgepodge of
really, and people who aren't believable next to other people.
Yeah.
And particularly, an awful trait was to have the leading man of the society in his 45-50s, and they're playing opposite the younger. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's so common, isn't it? Well, it was.
It was.
It's probably not as much now.
I don't think the sensibility tends towards that anymore. And it just feels so horrible. And when you see, it sprung from Hollywood. You know, Cary Grant was with in his 50s and 60s, and you've got to look at people like Sean Connery as James Bond or Roger Moore as Bond. it just really goes. Oh, it rankles at you
it
now.
It really dates, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. In terms of musical theatre, I don't believe that it's dated anymore.
Mm.
People are choosing more adventurous shows, and it's so
or
gratifying.
Writing them.
Or writing them like a lunatic. But so the auditions are up and coming. We have lots of Sams.
Yep.
So lots of young kids who want to do this role. We've got, I can't believe, there are lots of Paulines, and I do like that because that's a lovely plum role. But we established on a previous podcast that Pauline is a central pillar, and casting everyone else comes basically off of her. What we don't have is the choice of males. We have people coming to audition for every single male character.
Yeah.
But there isn't a choice. Now, you can understand from an audition point of view what pressure that puts on us, because we have to choose the right Pauline. And if the George that's coming for the audition isn't right with her, then do we change the Pauline?
Or do you change the George?
That would be awful. Yeah. So really, we need more choice in the male area, which we don't have.
So you've got several Sams, though.
Several Sams.
So
the younger
end. Proving our point that we've got a lot of young male, kind of, or young men, who are doing musical theatre, and going for those roles, and that's great. But it is quite surprising to me, actually, that the other end of the scale, that there's not loads of older gents going for.
Well, you were saying this isn't the case in on the Isle of Man.
No, not really. In my experience, when I was doing shows back in the Isle of Man, and bear in mind, my last show there was Cats in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So, 10 years, geez.
You'd be six at that point, would you? Jesus.
I was 20. I was about to go back to do my final year at uni.
Okay.
And probably the fittest I ever got in my life, I think, running around dressed like a cat. But love that show.
Yeah.
And loads of people hate it, don't they? Loads of people are like, oh my God, it doesn't make sense. Anyway,
didn't help. Carry on.
It bloody did not, did it? It's awful. Anyway, sorry. But
who are you apologising to? I think Lloyd Webber
would be
fine.
Whoever the hell decided to greenlight that thing.
Yeah.
Judi Dench for being in it. She was wonderful. Anyway, we're going off topic.
Isle of Man.
You can do a podcast about our podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tune in next week.
But in my experience, there's a lot of older guys back in the Isle of Man who, their backgrounds are either in Gilbert and Sullivan or straight plays or choral societies. There's a huge culture of drama and music. In fact, every April, if I'm wrong, that sounds really silly, but every Springer, let's say, there is what's called the Guild, which is the Manx Music Festival, well, Music and Drama Festival. And that's where societies basically have like a pick of all these fantastically really talented amateur, semi-pro and professional singers and performers. And there's so many options for older men.
Yeah.
Like, I did Les Mis when I was 17 in 2009. And you can't do Les Mis without...
Jean Valjean.
Yeah, and Javert, yeah. And like, and the bishop, and there's loads of male parts, and there's loads of younger ones for the students, and I was so lucky to be one of them, but there's so many older parts as well. Mm. They've got these rich, magical voices, and yeah, in my experience, I mean, I might be wrong, I was never in the casting, but on the audition panel, but in my experience, there's so many older gents back home that... constantly are doing shows and they're really, really good. And I guess that probably one of the reasons why it's harder here, especially in this situation, it's not a recognised show.
No.
That someone has heard, knows about. And as a result, there's probably men that we know who would be perfect for going for George that are already committed to other shows. Yep. And obviously, the biggest thing I've said to friends when I've explained what it's like here compared to back home, there's so many more societies spread out around different areas of Yorkshire. That means there's so many more options for shows. Back there, there's like a smaller number, a concentrated pool of talent and...
a real competition for the roles.
And real competition for the roles because of that fact. But here, you know, someone might... go off towards Manchester way because there's a part there. And we've talked about this before. Mm. You've said to me before, go for the parts you want to do. Mm. Don't do the parts that you think you should do to be loyal.
Yeah.
And to some extent, I agree with you. But I think that that should be the case as well. You know, like, it's a lot of time that you commit to, not just the audition, but once you get the part, or you don't get the part, even if you still do the musical... you're still committing a lot of time to doing that as a hobby and not getting paid for it. It's
That's right.
3 to 4 months maybe of your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, for older gents who maybe have come from those backgrounds that's more choral singing or you know, it's more acting or singing, not musical theatre.
Yeah.
It's a big thing to do that, I think.
I think so. There's a huge time commitment. Mm. And also... if you are a 45-year-old bloke, maybe it's a time of your life where you want to be spending it with your family.
Yeah.
For instance, if it's the summer holidays, you know, and your kids are actually away from school and you want to spend time with them, then you don't do a show.
No.
That would be ludicrous. but because it is all-consuming. You've got, even when you're not in rehearsals, you're learning lines and you know, your focus is on that. And maybe they don't want it to be. But it seems it's a crying shame if we have to compromise Pauline in order to get a George. Mm. So I'm determined to sort of wait it out and hope, just in case we don't get the right measure of cast. I'd like to think that by the end of the ninth, our ladies will be in position and we can then see what we have in terms of men. It may work perfectly.
Yeah.
The chemistry may be perfect and everything might work out fine. But we only have sort of one or two going for each role of the older men, and that isn't the same amount of choice we've got for the females.
Yeah.
At this stage.
So, in a nutshell, if you are an older man who likes doing musical theatre, or maybe you've never done musical theatre but you've done drama or you've done singing... go to richsykes.com and apply to do an audition for By George, because you never know, and it'll be great, and it will be great.
These are nice parts. There are three specific men who are not co-leads. There is an element to which the females run the show in this show.
Yeah, yeah.
It hangs on them. George may be the title character, but the part isn't huge at all. He's just a character. So I wouldn't worry too much about commitment to it. You'll obviously need to be committed to the show, but actually having a show hang on your shoulders, that's not what this is. You're the title character, but George is necessarily just a bit part player.
Just lots of grunts.
Lots of
mumbling.
He's a massively erudite character, but if you think of him like... I'm trying to think of a parallel. There isn't really, not in musical theatre, but in legitimate plays, you've got a play called Hobson's Choice, and he's very much the bewildered patriarch. So there's that element to the character. Your other men of that age are Harry, who runs the bar, who has some of the best lines in it, but again,
they should be sharp and witty, really.
Few and far between, but stabs of real, and it gets all the laughs in some of the hardest scenes. It's always Harry that gets the laugh. So that's a lovely part. There's a part that Will, we've got a couple going for that, and I've got high hopes that we'll get a good chemistry there. But Will gets a delightful ballad to sing, and he's a hopeless romantic. He's really the dew-eyed optimist of the whole of the whole piece. So again, you've got a good variety of choice within that. But what we don't have at the moment is a variety of choice to look at the audition. So we'll see.
And you never know, like, someone might have watched this or listened to it, or someone might have recommended it, and you get a last minute audition and someone comes in and you go, wow.
Okay. And my fingers are crossed that not in terms of getting someone who I go wow at,
just more options.
In terms of Pauline, I'd like a variety of options so that we can say, yeah, they go together. You buy them. You've got to buy them as a couple, otherwise it doesn't work. So we can't have, you know, a big age gap or discrepancy. We'll see how this works, how it all plays out. But that's the excitement of auditions.
So I think that pretty much wraps things up for this week. So one last shout out then, Rich, for the auditions. How do people apply?
Yeah, you can apply online at www.richsykes.com. Just look for the audition material. You can also download all the audition material from there. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with the podcast. Subscribe by clicking the links various places. If you're on YouTube, you can subscribe to my channel there, or you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheers, Rich.
It's all right, mate.
Until next time.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks.